couple of gifts, actually, on a daily basis. And God's name was invented by the Hebrews because they got to figure out a way to communicate. So when God do something in their life, they said, Elohim, oh, he creates. Or Jehovah, Jireh, he provides. So the names of gods are invented by the Hebrew people as a way of including him, but also illustrating and showing to us his involvement. However, there are two specific occasions in the scripture where God personally revealed his name to us. These two names are, in a sense, how we should address God. The entire Bible hinges on these two names. And those two names, last week we covered, one is Yahweh, Yod, He, Vah, He. And the other name was Abba, that we'll cover this week. The theme of the Bible, when Moses asked God, what is your name? He was essentially asking, how should I address you? And God says, I'm with you. And the second time Jesus addressing God, and he says, God, this is painful. I'm not sure I can do this. I'm not sure I can go through this. I'm not sure I can live with this. I'm not sure if I can handle this. I know I can rely on you, and he says, Father, Abba Father. Now, have you ever wondered why the writer wrote Abba and then Father? Like, because the word is Father, Father. The word Abba is an Aramaic word. It says Father. And the word Father, it's a Greek word, which translated into our language is Father. So why did the writer left it as Abba Father, which essentially Jesus saying Father, Father? Well, the word Abba has such a strong, intimate force of meaning behind it. The translator left it because the difference between Abba and Father, the Aramaic word has such deep meaning that they didn't want to translate it because it has this connotation that's more than just calling God, God. Kind of like when you call your loved ones, you know, if you're dating in a relationship and you like me, I'm very romantic. You know, I call my wife all kinds of pet names, you know? Like babe, honey, she hates it, but it's okay. It's what I call her, right? It's not what she chooses for me to call her. It's what I call her, babe, honey, you know? Because it implies intimacy, right? I mean, you're calling your wife just wife, you know? Yeah, it's my wife. Ah. But honey, right? Ah, yeah. Babe, yeah. So when God, Jesus, in the agony, he addressed God and he says, Abba, there's weight, there's intimacy. It carries so much weight that they don't want to translate. They left it the way it is. And it's still a mystery to me, and it should be, you should have the question, why did God say Father, Father twice? The answer is, I don't know. Or did the translator put the word Father, Father in there twice? The answer is, I don't know. But I want to err it on the side that Jesus says it twice, because Paul quoted Jesus two times in the New Testament before any of the translator attempt to do this, right? So Paul had already quoted Jesus. He's saying this, Romans chapter 8, verse 14, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship, and to him, by him, we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testified with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs and heirs of God and co-heir with Christ. If indeed we share the suffering in order that we may also share in his glory. I want to make that make sense to you in a little bit. And then again, he quoted in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. It's on the screen. Because you are his sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. So in this most agonizing moment, he was about to face the most agonizing, painful, something that we can't even visualize or imagine, death. He is about to feel the crushing weight of the sins of the world. He's alone. He has no answers. He has no support. But he's committed to see it through. He won't fight back. You know, to think about it, Jesus could have just waved his hands and everything would go away. He could have just said stop and the pain will end. But he has to go to the cross. What Jesus was facing, the world didn't have an answer for, and you and I might have those moments in life where we just don't have the answers either. Especially this time of the year as well. And the only thing Jesus did was he turned to the heavens and he says, Abba, Father. This intense intimacy and love, and he knew who had the answer. And this sermon's hard for me because it's personal. And that's the scripture we're going to cover today. And then what I'm about to share with you next is hard for me. And I hope you can sympathize and relate to this. And some of you might relate to this as well. But I love being a dad. I honestly really do love being a dad. As busy as I am, I always find time to be a dad. Whether I need to stay up until 1 o'clock in the morning to write my sermons, or coming in here at 6 in the morning, or staying here until 10 at night, I need to carve out time to be a dad. This is a picture of my family. My wife Elizabeth, my 4 children. Yes, she is very pretty and good looking. I call her honey and babe, right? My wifey, right? So there's intimacy there. Those are my kids, right? We go fishing. We hang out at home. I wrestle with them. And sometimes I wrestle with them a little bit too hard on purpose just to get a little pain into them, to know them to show them who's dominant, right? You're getting stronger, but you're not strong yet. I know one day they're going to pay back in 2-folds or 4-folds, right? But sometimes I wrestle with them and then kind of nudge them a little bit harder than I should, get them a little tears, and then Liz will run now. I was like, what'd you do that for? I just, get over it. Cause that's what dads do, right? We go fishing. We do all kinds of stupid things as well, right? Like, we break things. We make a mess in the house. Most of the time them, not me, obviously. But when the first time they came out of the womb, right? It was disgusting, right? Babies are disgusting. Like, they are. Like, who wants to hold a baby all slimy? But the first time they came out of the womb, there's this overwhelming feelings that comes over you that you're like, I'm a dad. I'm a father. This person now, it's in my care, right? And then Aram comes out, same feelings, right? And then Ari comes out, it's like, oh man, 3 kids, what am I going to do, right? And then Vela came out, like, oh man, 4 kids, I got to get a third job or something. But they're all cute, they're all very good, loving children. They get along with everybody. They enjoy adventures, we go get ice cream and we stayed up late and we ate eat too much sometimes. Sometimes we go somewhere by ourselves, just me and one of them, and you hear their life, all a couple years of their life. They have it so hard, right? They figure out what they want already. Like, get that, I want this, right? I took Avery for Thanksgiving. Well, Liz took Avery to Thanksgiving and shopping, and then I took Aram for Thanksgiving shopping, and the whole time Aram's like, hey, I want to visit this aisle because I want to know how much this costs, right? And then I sing him a song. I say, you are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me broke. But, you know, again, everyone in the aisle of the Target's like, well, it's true. So I love being a dad. I really do. It's my priority. More than I love my job, more than I love anything else except my wife and my God. So I love being a dad. But this is me growing up. Yeah, see? Look how cute that is? That's me. A little Nunu. I spoke with a friend last night. She knew me in middle school. And she goes, I remember you. The haircut. I had the infamous, you know, Asian bowl haircut like everyone did like growing up. So that's what I had. I was like, man, that's how you remember me, the haircut. But check this out. This is Avery and I. Do we look alike or what? It's like carbon copy. This is Avery, my oldest, and that's me. Exactly the same. So go back to the other picture. That's me growing up. Not sure how old I was, but I didn't have a dad growing up. I certainly didn't know what it was like to have a man in the house. And life was tough. It was really tough. I remember during the monsoon season in Vietnam, and my mom would climb onto the roof of the house and would nail down the roof just so it doesn't leak. I remember sleeping out in the sand a couple of times because it was so hot and you don't have AC, so you just go and sleep outside. It was not that it was not normal, but because several people does it too, but now looking back, yeah, it wasn't normal. And I certainly have no idea what life was like in America until I got here. I didn't know that, like in America, dad takes their kids camping, right? That's cool, right? In America, dad would drive their kids around and talk about things and tell dad jokes, right? Stuff like that. I didn't know any of that stuff. So I started watching, you know, the show Full House. So any guys remember the show Full House? Everywhere you look, everywhere you go. You guys know that song? Yeah. And then you watch like Steve Urkel, right? Like Winslow, the father, right? And you see how Winslow, you know, is a father figure to Urkel, but you know that song? Like, it's a rare condition this day and age. You know that song? Oh, and then you know, like Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. I grew up with Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Will Smith did a fantastic job in that show. It was ongoing. You guys know the song? Now, this is a story all about how my life got turned upside down. I didn't know dad comes home from work and take care of business. I didn't know dad can be funny, provide for their family. I didn't know any of that until I saw these TV shows, and that's what I wanted. I wanted that for my life because I didn't have a dad. I remember Bob Saget. Do you guys remember Bob Saget? He's being a wonderful dad, wonderful father. There's a scene in the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. It brings me to tear every time. I save you the agony of showing it, but there's a scene where Will would put the statue of him and his father, and they're getting ready to go on a camping trip, and somehow his father left and canceled the trip, and then he hugged Uncle Phil, and he says, how come he doesn't want me, man? How come he doesn't want me? I don't know if my dad did it by accident on purpose, but I'm grateful that he came here and brought our family over on a family reunification case. I'm certainly grateful for that, but there were times in my childhood where I certainly wanted to know, you know. So I developed this personality where I want to be father figure to the single moms. I think that's where my heart for single moms comes from, because I see what my mom went through. But in high school, my sophomore year of high school, I ran into a guy. His name is David Tracy. And David was a vice president for General Electric, GE. Very successful businessman, but he lived such a simple life. David and Jay Tracy was a huge part of my life, and I would go over his house a lot, because what he does with his family is kind of like what I seen on Full House or Carl Winslow or Uncle Phil. Like the way he treats his family, the way he provides for his family, the way he makes time for his kids, and the way he forgives them and loves them and hugs them, and no matter the mistakes they make, and he was such an inspiration to me. I didn't know they were wealthy or not. I didn't care, but they didn't have the nicest stuff either. But what they had was enough. And God was important in his life. And God was so important in his life that he made church and Jesus and God as a priority in his kids' life as well. And I wanted that. And I remember one night we were sitting in the patio, and he shared with me a story that he almost didn't go to college because he didn't want to go to college. But he was a very good drafter, and then he was working in the basement for somebody, and then the guy told him, he says, David, I put my pants on the same way as you do. Go register at UF and take some math classes. You'll be a great engineer. And that's what he did. And he shared with me that story as well. He says, New, he often point me towards God the Father. He says, New, you put your pants on the same way I do. I put one leg on at a time. It's going to be okay. And he often shared with me how I have a loving father in heaven, God, that no earthly father can compare to that. And now this verse makes sense to me. As Paul writes this to Rome, and I can't prove this, but by observation, Rome was a slave empire. Men were off to war. Most of the people in Rome were slaves and single moms and kids, children growing up without fathers. So when Paul wrote this, it makes sense to me. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testified with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs and heirs of God and co-heir with Christ. If indeed we share in his suffering, in order that we may also share in his glory. I know this sermon is hard for me. And I know this sermon might be hard for some of you. And hard for me to share. Some of you have had absent, abusive earthly fathers. And you might not get along, and you haven't spoken to them. Or you don't care for them. Or if you had a good one, but the Lord took him too soon. And maybe you need to hear about a heavenly father. The same father I hear about growing up. Heavenly Father who love you very much. And no earthly father can compare to his love for you. That you are forgiven. And he's very mindful of you. He knows the number of hair on your head. And he knows all the ins and outs about you. He knows you better than anyone does. Yet he still loves you more than anyone could ever love you. And in the chaos of this world, and sometimes we run so fast and you might be confused, or things just don't have all the answers and might not work out. Maybe you can lift your eyes to heaven and say, Abba, Father, for all of your needs. Here's what I discover. Anyone can be spiritual, right? Anyone can sign themselves up to a self-support group or a meeting or to a made-up God or trying to be spiritual. Anyone can do that. You're in your own rights to do that. But I know there's only one God can save. That is our Heavenly Father who sent his son Jesus. And we can call him Abba Father. Amen. I have a letter to us from God, our Father. Maybe this will help you through the nights like it helped me. And maybe this will transform your life right now as a father, if you are a father. Or maybe this will help you become a better father when you are a father. And maybe this will help you because your father has gone too soon, or you don't have a relationship, or maybe the father to your children is gone too soon from this earth. And throughout history, people have look at this as God's rules meant to stifle us or controls us, or a standard that no one can live up to, or who would ever want to live this way. They said that God is a horrible God, a God who lets bad things happen to good people, who can follow the Ten Commandments. Who can live up to that standard? But what if the Ten Commandments is a father's letter left for us to follow? What if the Ten Commandments is God's letter to his children to guide us through life in times of need? What if we read the Ten Commandments as a letter from God instead of rules, but a love letter? And it goes a little something like this. My child, I know you're going to be tempted with so many things in this world. And unfortunately, from the garden, my love for you has been broken by sin. And you're going to be tempted to follow other gods, man-made gods, the shiny things of this life, and things that people made up about me that you're going to be confused. But don't have other gods before me. Know that I love you. You're going to be tempted to make things to worship. You're going to bring things into your homes, and you're going to see things that statues and things that doesn't belong in your household, or things that doesn't represent me. Then people are going to create all kinds of images and statues that they're going to put it in your face and say, this is God. And don't do that. Don't do that. And don't worship them. Don't forget my name, my child, my children. My name is holy. Something you should keep close to you. I'm with you. I'm your God. Don't misuse it. Don't forget it. Repeat it. Say it every day.
And remember to rest. Life is busy. You can never make enough money. You can never be like your next door neighbor. Or maybe you can. But at what cost? Remember to slow down and take a break. To slow down and spend time with your loved ones and your family. Remember to rest. Because resting is good for you. Resting is fills your soul with me. You can't run to with the world and the sins of the world and tries to follow me at the same time. Slow down, my son. Slow down, my children. You know, your earthly parents are not perfect. And they're going to make mistakes. Your earthly parents are sinners as well. And they're going to do dumb things. You think you're the only one that's doing dumb things? No, your earthly parents do dumb things too. Just put your ears against the door to the bedroom at night. You might hear them argue. You might hear them disagree. And sometimes they might disagree in front of you. But honor them. Honor your father and your mother. Because I put them on this earth to take care of you. And know they're not perfect. But they're doing the best they can. You know, that friend of yours sometimes annoys the heck out of you? Little Billy, little Johnny. Yeah, he can be annoying. Maybe they'll steal something from you. Don't kill him. Let him live. Don't kill anybody. You know, the people I put in your life, my son, my daughter. Once you love them, commit to them. Don't cheat on them. Because it hurts. Broken relationship hurts. And then be committed to one another. Love one another. Just one. Because relationship is hard. It's hard with just one. Having two is not fun. Don't commit adultery. And you know the things that your neighbor have that you really love might look a little better than yours. Don't steal it. Leave it alone. Because what they have, they work really hard for it. And that's what they enjoy. Don't steal it. You know yourself, sometimes you're tempted to gossip about your neighbors. Or sometimes you're tempted to give false testimony about your friends. And sometimes you just straight up lie. I know you're tempted to do that. Refrain from that. You don't have to make up stuff about your friends, your neighbors. Just tell the truth. And finally, my children, don't covet. What I have for you is enough. What I have for you is what you need. What I have for you, it's all that you need right now in your life. Don't covet. Because covet is going to get you in trouble with all kinds of things. Coveting is going to make you want more, make you not rest. Coveting will make you not worship me. Coveting will maybe drive you to anger to where you are murdering somebody. Covet will make you commit adultery. Covet will make you steal. Covet will make you give false testimony about your friends, about your loved ones as well. So my children, don't covet. So if you read the Ten Commandments that way, not so bad, isn't it? It's not so much to ask from God, your Father. It's actually not that hard. And that's his love letter to you. And when the world doesn't have all the answers, call on the one who does. Our Abba, Father. Amen. And I hope you know that this season, God is your heavenly Father. And no earthly father can ever fill the role of how much he loves you and he's your father. Last week you learned that Yahweh, that's how he addressed us and we address him, that he's with you. And today you learned that he's your father, Abba Father. It makes perfect sense why God does the things that he does, because he's with you, but he loves you and he do all the things that he does because he is your father. The entire Bible hangs on these two words, Yahweh and Father. It explains everything on who God is. He's always with you and he's your loving father. Amen. And if you never, as a band come forward, if you never experience or knowing this God that loves you and the Father that loves you, and you might be missing an earthly father, or maybe you haven't had a relationship with your father, and I hope this sermon will encourage you to be better fathers. But first and foremost, commit yourself to God, who is your Father. If you never accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, never been baptized into his death, his burial, and his resurrection. So Paul says that we are heir with Christ, that because of his death, we can call out to God as our Abba Father. He's saying this on the streets of Rome, where most of them were slaves. Most of them were fatherless. And he says, because of Christ's death, we can cry out to God that he's our Father, and we are co-heir with Christ. That means we are going to be with Jesus. And the way God views Jesus is the same way he views us. Now, I can't explain that. No words can describe that, because that's the emotion of God as a father to us. I can try to sound so educated up here and you'll be bored to death. But the bottom line is this. Thanks to Jesus Christ, above every other name, that you have a heavenly Father that loves you very, very much. So this holiday season, make sure you lift your eyes up to heaven and cry out to God, Abba Father. Let's stand. Our elders will be up here to pray with you. And if you never accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, come on up. I'm here. We have change of clothes back here. We'll baptize you today. But you have any prayers at all, our elders up here to pray with you and for you. But don't leave here today without making a decision for God.